What are you afraid of? Fencing, porcupines? Children can go. Thanks for being here with us today. If this is your first time or one of your first times, we sure are glad you're with us. If I haven't met you, I'd love to. I'd love to hug your hand and shake your neck. And maybe we just need to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, we ask your blessings upon it. Father, we know you have a purpose for our being here. It's not just happen chance. You want us to come in and get something to go back out with. You want a simply irresistible church, and you want this region to be touched by your, for your kingdom's sake. So Lord, I ask you to help us today. I ask you that every soul, every person will sense your presence. Father, I pray for myself that I'll speak wisely. I'll be a vessel of honor unto you. As the sower goes forth to sow the seed of the word of God, Father, it will fall on good soil, and it'll bring forth fruit for the kingdom and fruit for our lives. And I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're in our series, and the series is called Simply Irresistible. We believe that the church and the kingdom of God should be irresistible. Jesus was irresistible. He drew people to him. Even he says, after you kill me, I'm going to draw people to me. John chapter 12 and verse 32 says this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, Jesus is saying there that every ethnic group, every color, every nationality, every tongue, old people, young people, middle-aged people, it doesn't matter whom you are. What it matters is that he's going to draw you. No one is immune to the drawing to the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ. We believe that there should be no contest on Sunday mornings when we get up as to what we should do. We should be anxious to get to church, excited about going to church, being able to come, because that was that way for Jesus. Jesus drew people to him all the time. He drew multitudes to him. People would flock out to him if he was in the wilderness and just follow him around. Children flocked to him. People from all over came to him. And we think that it should be that way right now in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God should be simply irresistible. But sadly, it's not that way, is it? There are people at home today in the bed just laying there. They haven't been opened up to the things of the kingdom of God. Their lives are not opened yet, and so they're not experiencing that drawing power to the capacity that we want to see that. Now, why is it? Why is it that some people are not opened up yet to the kingdom of God? Why is it that hundreds and thousands of people are in our communities and they're not going to church anywhere? A reason is because some of us Christians have not yet come to a place in our lives where we've allowed God to open us up so that we can, in return, open others up. Jesus said that if you'll let me build you into a church, if you will allow me to put you together and build you into a church, nothing can stop you, not even hell itself. You believe me? Here's what he said. Here's what he said. He's talking to Peter here in Matthew chapter 16, but I want you just to put your name there. He said, I think it'll work there just like it worked for Peter. And here's what he said. Here's what Jesus says. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, or whomever you are, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, if you will allow me to put you together, hook you together, build you together as stones, and then nothing can stop you. Hell will put up fences. Hell will put up gates. Hell will put up walls. Hell will put up barriers. But nothing is going to stop my church if you will allow me to build you. So when we open ourselves up and allow him to do that, that's what we can expect. We can expect nothing to stop us, but we've got to come together and we've got to do this. But I want to read the rest of this passage that I've got here because we often stop right there. What we need to do is keep reading and see how this really works. How is the church built so that it can go on and conquer the gates of hell? So what he says is the next thing he says after that, he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Would you say keys back to me? Keys of the kingdom. See? Kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever, say whatsoever. Whatsoever. Nothing's left out. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, keys open earth and heaven. Let's say it another way. Keys open lives. What he's really after, you see, he already owns the earth. Earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that live therein. What he's after are lives. And so what these keys are to do is to open up lives for the kingdom of God. What he wants to do is he says, if you allow me to build you together, then I'm going to give you keys so that you can open up lives. So today what I want to talk about is one of those keys that he tells us that he gives us to open up the kingdom and open up lives. And so my title today is Irresistible Peace. Irresistible Peace. Peace is a large part of the kingdom of God. Very, very large part. I could say it's a third, but I don't know if that would be exactly accurate, but it is a large, large part. Let me show you what I'm talking about. What Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Now notice the present tense of Paul's thinking here about the kingdom. "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, what he says is, I'm going to give you three keys of the kingdom. And when we present the kingdom of God to people, then they need to see these three keys. If we want them to open their lives up to us, then we've got to have righteousness and joy. And what was that third one?
Peace.
Right. We need to give them righteousness and peace and joy. And so when we come to somebody and we're projecting the kingdom of God to them, then we need to show them righteousness, peace, and joy if we want them to open their... How many of you know that people are watching us? And when we don't live righteously, we turn them off, right? And they'll call you a hypocrite, right? They're watching your joy. How happy are you? If this Christian thing is supposed to be so good, then why aren't you smiling? See, they're watching our lives. There's righteousness and peace and joy. So if I'm not in peace, am I in the kingdom? I need to ask you that. Think. If the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost and I'm not in peace, am I in the kingdom? No, I have left the kingdom. What has taken me out of the kingdom? My lack of peace. I want us to see this, you see. I want us to understand this. If I'm not walking in peace and joy and righteousness, then I'm not really walking in the kingdom. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily sinning, you understand. But I've allowed something to take my key. I've allowed something to remove me from the kingdom. So I have to ask you a question now. When do we need peace? Do we need peace when everything is going well? Or do we need peace when everything is not going well? When do we most need peace? We need it all the time. When do we really need peace? I said a while ago that Jesus was irresistible. I said that Jesus, you know, drew people to him. Did he only draw people to him in good times? Or did he also draw people to him in bad times? See, he was irresistible all the time. And what I've found watching Christians and watching my life, if I'm not cautious about it, and when I go through something tough and something bad, you see, I've lost my peace. I'm out of the kingdom. I no longer have the key to open others' lives up to the kingdom of God. So what I want to talk today is about this. I'll ask you another question. What is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? Do you have one? We have one. We all have one. How many of you saw Batman Begins? See Batman Begins? Yes. Batman Begins, and what was interesting here is that before Batman, Bruce Wayne, could come to his highest potential, he had to face his deepest fear. Isn't that interesting? Do you know what his fear was? Do you know what his greatest fear was? Anybody remember what Batman's deepest, greatest fear was? Bats! Bats! When he was a little boy, he fell into a cave hole. And bats attacked him. And it was such a traumatic experience for him that he had this tremendous fear of bats. And so before he could really become to his highest potential in life, he had to face his deepest fear. Now, I know that's a Hollywood projection, but we still understand the principle, don't we? You see, what stops you or I from coming to our highest potential in life is our deepest fear. And you'll never overcome your deepest fear until you learn the power of peace. Your deepest fear stops all of us from accomplishing. Our deepest fear stops all of us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. Am I still on? Okay, good. Because I don't like to be turned off. So again, what is your deepest fear? fear. We all have one. Jesus had a deep fear. His fear was the cross. But until he was able to overcome his deepest fear, he was never able to achieve his highest goals. In Gethsemane that night, that fear tried to come and grip him and stop him from accomplishing what he was destined to do. See, we've got to understand the power of peace. For the kingdom of God to exist, Jesus had to conquer his deepest fear. Had he not conquered his deepest fear, there would be no kingdom today. There would be no church today. There would be no salvation for you and I today. Jesus had to conquer that deepest fear. That is the importance of peace, because it was peace that got him through that. That is the importance of peace. Peace was a key for the kingdom of God then, and peace is the key for the kingdom of God today. Peace gets us beyond our deepest fears and opens the kingdom of God to others. You're not going to win people if you don't have peace. We're not going to affect this region unless we learn the power of peace. Now, we talked about the irresistible best. That was our first lesson that we did in this series. And I showed you statistically how the kingdom of God is advancing and spreading all over this world. I showed you what was happening in China and the Philippines and Korea. And I showed you what was happening in the United States. Remember, I showed you the video of what happened out in Houston at Joel Osteen and Lakewood Church. I showed you what's happening all over the world today with the kingdom of God. It's bigger and powerful and more advancing than it's ever been in the history. It's more powerful today than it was then on Pentecost. And what we've got to learn is the kingdom of God is an irresistible best, but at the same time it's advancing as it is advancing, at the same time there are some negative things that are happening, right? For example, if it wasn't already this way, but prior to 9/11 of 2001, it has been afterward. For example, we've had to learn a new aspects of our language. We had to get some new words into our vocabulary, like Al-Qaeda, suicide bombing, dirty bombs, anthrax, biochemical, homeland security, high alert. Those words we never had to worry about before. America invaded Afghanistan. We were at war with Iraq. We are at war with terrorism and terrorists. Now North Korea is developing nuclear weapons. The media would have us believe that the rest of the world hates America and Americans. It's a strange, strange time. It's a chaotic pandemonium time. It's a time where there's a lot of stress in the world. It's a crazy time. The economy bottomed out. Reporting of child molestation at an all-time high. High schools now use metal detectors to check their kids out, to make sure they're not bringing weapons to school, some high schools. It's no longer a big deal for children in high school to use condoms. It's a crazy time. It's a chaotic time. But on top of all of that stress and worry, what we have is our personal times, our personal situations going on. We have a personal life that bothers us. Things are going on in our health, our finances, our family, our children. Children have problems with parents. Parents have problems with children. We worry about job security, a school, and our future. If we allowed those things too, would they not just kind of drive us crazy? You see, there's this stress and the enemy's attacking us. They would drive us insane. What's over the next hill? What's around the next curve? What's behind the next sunrise? And if we allow things too, they really will attack our mind. It seems that nearly every person that I talk to, and probably you as well, it seems that every person that we talk to is either worried about something or angry about something. Where is peace? Where is the peace that we're supposed to have? Is life supposed to be that way? The Bible tells us about the night before Jesus would be crucified, before he would go to the cross. And this particular night, he was alone with his disciples. And he was in the room with them, and he was telling them what was about to happen. He said, it is time for me to be betrayed. It is time for me to be arrested. It is time for me to be hand it over to the authorities. It's time for them to take and scourge me. It's time for them to nail me to a cross and to crucify me. And as we read that conversation through the book of John in St. John chapters 13 through 17, as we read that conversation, we see and sense this irresistible peace that Jesus had, knowing that in 24 hours he would be dead. But yet he had a peace that passed understanding. Irresistible peace. But what if he hadn't had that peace? What if, now and imagine, what if he had just freaked out? What if he just said, oh my God, Judas is going to betray me. You know, oh my God, they're going to arrest me. Oh my God, they're going to beat me. They're going to pull my beard out. Oh my God, they're going to tie me to a post and scourge me. Oh my God, they're going to kill me. Hey, you guys, I want you all, come around. This is more than I can handle. Would you guys get around me, lay hands on me, and pray for me, please? But that's not what he did, was it? What Jesus had was a peace that not only helped him through that terrible time, but was transferred to his disciples so that they could go and expand the kingdom. That's what's so interesting about that. See, in that particular moment, in that particular time, when he was about to face this thing, the amazing thing was is that he was able to keep his disciples still down. He told them, actually, that they were about to face their deepest fears. Here's what he said to them. Let me read them to you in John chapter 15 and 18. This is part of the conversation that he had with them. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In other words, the world was going to hate them. John 15, 20, 21 says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They were going to be taken to prison. They were going to be beaten. They were going to go all through these persecutions that they were going to experience. John 16, 2 through 3 says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think they are doing God's service. And these things they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. What was going to happen? The Jews were going to hate the disciples. They were going to arrest the disciples. They were going to beat the disciples. They were going to persecute the disciples. They were going to not allow them in the synagogues anymore. But for the kingdom of God to continue and fill the earth, the disciples had to come up with some way, and Jesus had to get them some way where they could get over that deep fear and that horrible nightmare. Beyond that, so that they could go on and spread the kingdom of God. So what was it that Jesus gave them to get them beyond their deepest fear? Peace. Here's what Jesus said. Here was Jesus' solution. They had all kinds of questions. They didn't understand that. But here's what Jesus says to them in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. Not just any peace. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My peace. And a little bit later in that same conversation, he says this to them. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. How many know that's true? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So hear me, the key at that moment was not their understanding what was about to happen to Jesus. The key at that moment was not even understanding why it was about to happen to Jesus. Do you realize you will never understand all that you're going to be going through in life? The disciples couldn't understand it. They kept asking questions. Jesus wanted them to understand, but even they would ask the questions. And with Jesus explaining what was about to happen, they still couldn't understand it. See, the key in life is not your understanding what you're going through. The key in life is you having peace. Peace that passes understanding. A peace that lets you know that everything's going to be okay. That God really is in control. Jesus is on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you really believe that? Because you see, when you have a peace, it's a key to opening up the kingdom of God to someone else. These disciples were able to get a hold of that peace. Peace that only could come through Jesus. See, today, a key to the kingdom of God, to this area, this whole region, being affected by the kingdom of God, is irresistible peace. If you don't have it, you're not in the kingdom. You're not going to have the abundant life. You're not going to excel to your highest potential in life. And neither are you going to be able to be the witness and bring others into the kingdom that you want to bring in. Did you know that every one of those disciples died as a martyr except one? Every single one of them died. Let me read this to you. Herod killed James, the brother of John, by a sword, beheaded him. Thomas was killed in India. Simon was crucified in Egypt. Matthew was beaten, crucified, and beheaded. Andrew was crucified and burned in Archaea. It is said that John was boiled in oil, yet lived to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. Stephen was stoned. Philip was stoned. Jewish leaders threw James off the top of the roof of the temple. The fall did not kill him, so they crushed his skull with a club. Peter was crucified upside down. The Romans beheaded Paul because of the Jews. The disciples and the apostles went all over the world preaching the kingdom of God. And amazingly, what was amazing about this is that every one of them died as a martyr, but not one of them ever renounced Jesus Christ. And it was irresistible to people. They would bring them out and threatened to kill them and would kill them, but they still would not renounce Jesus Christ. You got to be able to see this. You got to be able to kind of understand this. I mean, here comes Paul out. And he comes out, you know, and he's got his hands tied behind him. And he knows he's about to die. He's just watched several people just before him be crucified. And so he knows that he's about to lose his head, literally. And so what he does, he walks out, his hands are tied behind him, and he kneels at the chopping block. He puts his head on the block. There's blood there. He can see it and smell it. He knows this is no joke. He is about to die because of his faith in Jesus Christ. His head's laying there waiting for the axe. A command comes, renounce Jesus Christ and be free and live. Paul instead says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. Cut his head off. What? His head rolls in one direction and his body flops in another. The eyes are still open. The mind would still function for several seconds. The body's shaking and quivering as the blood gushes from the neck. What effect did that have on people? Was this guy an idiot? Or was Jesus Christ real? All he had to do to live was say, I don't believe in him. It's just a lie. That's not what he did. They knew all Paul had to do to live was to renounce Jesus, but he didn't. Now, what got Paul through that time? Peace I give you. My peace. One of the main things that I see as I study those kinds of things is the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those men saw Jesus alive after he was crucified. And there is no way they were ever going to renounce him. Now, I could have seen one or two of them deny him and or one or two of them go to the chopping block and lose their heads in fanatical beliefs. But not every one of them. And then the thousands of martyrs after that. What was it that was able to take them through those times and open up lives to people to Jesus Christ? It was the peace that they had received from Jesus, an irresistible peace. Peace I give you, my peace, I leave with you. Peace was a key then, and peace is a key now. Peace opened up lives Peace opened up doors. It opened up earth to the kingdom of God. Do we have that kind of peace? Do you have that peace? See, what I see is that many Christians don't have that kind of peace. We don't have enough peace to keep us from fussing and fighting with our spouses or worrying about our children. We don't have enough peace to get out of bed on Sunday morning and come to church because our finances are bad. Where is the peace that opened up the world to Jesus, that presented an irresistible kingdom? How can you resist somebody facing that kind of death, but having that kind of peace? It's irresistible. It passes understanding. Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds." Would you say hearts and minds? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you don't have the peace of God, you not only lose your mind, you lose your heart. You lose your purpose. You lose your desire of life. But with it, you can keep your heart and your mind. So if a mind, if a mind not kept, is that a lost mind? Sure, we don't think right. Our emotions are messed up. Here's what I want to say today to us. People are watching us. Not just you, but all Christians. They're watching everything that we do. Are we giving them a simply irresistible idea of what Christianity is? Your neighbors are watching you. They can hear you hollering at your spouse or at your children. The people that you're trying to bring into the kingdom of God are watching you. They're watching you when you get down about every and anything. They're watching you if you go through it with flying colors. The people that you're asking to come into the kingdom are watching you. The people you work with are watching you. Your family is watching you. Now let me tell you what they're watching. They're not watching to see you get blessed. In fact, they're jealous of your blessings. What they're watching for is to see you mess up. They're watching to see things get so bad in your life, to see you do the wrong thing. They're watching to see how you handle bad situations. And sometimes they even wish you would fail at them. There's sometimes they wish, you know, that you wouldn't do well. But when they really see the kingdom of God in you, when they really see the peace that Jesus gives us, when they really see that, it opens up something in them. And you know what? It's a key. And it opens up their life. And it says, "Let me give you the kingdom of God." It opens up the earth. It opens up their life. And they are able to receive Jesus. See, people are watching. They say, "You say you're a Christian. Let's see how you do here." And when we do well, when we go through bad times with the peace of God, you know what they say? "I want that. I want what you've got. I want it." They don't understand what it is. People don't understand the peace of God. They just see you go through tough times, and they say, "I want it." How many seen people go through bad times, but yet they had the peace of God? Have you? Right? What did it do to you? It opened up something, and you said, "I want that. I want to have that kind of dedication to Christ. I want to have that kind of dedication to something." It's an irresistible peace. It's a key. And it draws people in. It drags people in. It's what it's done. That's what it's for. We've all seen it and we all want it. Before we do these lessons, I try to get a little team up together and we sit around a table and we throw out ideas. I kind of project what I want to talk about and some things, and then everybody starts throwing out ideas and thoughts and scriptures, and we wrestle through some things as to what we want to project. And we did that this time. And one of the people that were with us in this meeting said, "You need to talk about the irresistible peace in this series." I said, "The irresistible peace, that really doesn't meet. That doesn't, you know, that's kind of out of context with everything else that we're going to be talking about." But as I thought about it, I really found out I really found out, you know, that it really does matter, because peace is really irresistible when you see it. And the person that said that to me was reminding me of an experience they went through in 1990 with a serious health problem that threatened their life. And the person said that had not been for the peace of God, I would have gone crazy. I would have lost my mind. And I've watched some of you do the same thing. I've watched you get bad doctor's reports. I've watched you go through the different things of life. And I've watched you go through it with the peace of God. I've watched you do it. And I want to tell you today, you know, yeah, the peace of God was with you, but I want you to see what you did to others. People saw you do that. And it showed them the kingdom of God. It showed them the God of peace. It showed them that there really are a way to go through life without letting stuff weigh me down. And I can go through it with joy, and I can go through it with righteousness. It was a tremendous witness. Not long ago, Judy was at a life group, and it was the life group that Richard and Lily go to. And at that time, Richard had just been diagnosed with lung cancer. And they were sitting around, they were kind of talking about this. And Lily was talking and explaining things, and everybody was questioning how they were doing. And Lily commented, she says, "Well, Richard and I have talked about this." And Lily, as you know, if you know her well, she's been having heart problems for years. And they said, "We've talked about this. And here's our conclusion. We have lived long lives. We've been married and been together for over 50 years. God has been good to us, and we believe God's going to heal us. But if God doesn't, we're still going to love God, and we're still going to love people." And Judy said, "Delbert, you know, it wasn't just what she said, it was how she said it." She says, "Now here I am, a pastor's wife, and I was wondering if I had that kind of peace." And what it does is it opens you up and it pulls you in. When you see people going through tough times and they've got the peace of God, there's something irresistible about it. It draws you in. When you see them being able to face the heartaches and bad times of life, but yet they've got this peace, it's irresistible. You know what it does? It crushes Satan's head. Because see, what Satan wants to do is use those things to stop you from achieving your highest goal, or using that key to bring somebody else into the kingdom. He wants to stop you. He wants to get your mind and get your heart. But Romans chapter 16 and verse 20 says, "The peace of God will soon crush," say it, "Satan under your feet." See, what God's peace does is come against anything that's coming against you. It's going to get you. You're worried about your children. You're worried about your finances. You're worried about your health. You're worried about... But when the peace of God is there, it crushes Satan and releases God to work. Peace grows. The peace of God grows in us, and it's the only thing that is given to us by God that gets us through life with happiness and joy. You know, a lot of people today are on medication. But the peace I'm talking about, you can't buy it, and you can't buy a pill to take care of it. There's no medication that'll give you this peace. Galatians 5:22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," and so on. See, it grows in us. God gives it to us, and then we nurture it and we allow it to grow. And peace grows like a fruit. And it becomes sweet. And it gets us through tough times of life. It gives us nourishment. It's a peace that we receive from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You come in here, you should hear a good, encouraging message. Every week you should come in here and me build you up and give you some peace, because it's in the gospel. Here's what Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." It's a peace that rules our hearts no matter what we face. We have that same peace that Jesus had to go to his cross, and the disciples had. The things that we face shouldn't even make us frown. It's a peace that passes understanding. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ," look at this, "rule in your hearts, your attitudes towards life, your joy. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. You're called to peace. Be thankful. What I'm trying to say to you today is that Jesus has a special peace to give you. It's a kingdom peace. It's a God peace. What is your greatest fear? What stops you from accomplishing all in life that you should be accomplishing? What is there in life that wants to hold you down? What is it that Satan wants to attack you with? See, what peace of God will do is give you peace that will get you through anything that comes against you. But not only will it do that, but it's a key that opens up the kingdom of heaven and will draw people into that kingdom. Do you have that kind of peace today? Do you? How many want that kind of peace? Do you want that kind of peace to get you through anything that life throws, that crushes Satan, that causes you to grow and it becomes a fruitful thing, and others watch your life and brings them in? Amen. Well, all you have to do is receive it and then allow it to grow. Use it. Eat it. Let it become a part of you. And when you do, then the peace of God that passes understanding not only will get you through your tough times, but will also be a key that opens this region up as people watch your life and draws them into the kingdom. Amen? Did you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap? Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a second. Never want to have a service where we don't let people have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Father, we ask you today, Lord, touch and draw people. You say you're drawing them. No one is immune to your drawing. Lord, I know you're drawing some people that have gotten a little bit away from you. And Lord, you're drawing them back into the kingdom. Peace has left them. They've been worried about the cares of the world. Been worried about all kinds of things. And not allowed the peace of God to keep them in the kingdom where there's abundant life. So, Father, I ask you now to touch their hearts, their minds. You'd be honest enough to say to me, Delbert, yeah, I've gotten things going on in my life that has just really moved me from my peace. And I've been concerned, I've been worried, and I've been a little frantic about some stuff. But I hear that today, and I really want the peace of God in my life so that I can get through the next curve, the next sunrise, the next part of my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say yes? I see hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, God wants you to have peace. You're called to peace. The Bible says, keep your heads bowed. Let me just say this a second. The Bible says, and I didn't use the scripture, but it's in Philippians. This is chapter 4. And it says this, think on these things. Whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. See, the struggle is for your heart and mind. When you have peace, those things just won't turn you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here today gotten away from the Lord? Gotten away from the kingdom? Things aren't going right in your life. There's no righteousness. Surely there's no peace and there's no joy. But you're saying today, I want to get back where I need to be with God. I'm not right with God. I'm not asking you about religion. I'm not asking you if you're a believer. I'm asking you, are you right with God? If you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Are you right with God? Are you where you need to be? If that's you, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? See your hands. See your hands. Amen. Would you stand to your feet if you raised your hand just then? Just stand to your feet. Stand up. Okay. Any others? Okay. Just want to pray for you. Father, I bless them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I know, Lord, you want to use their life and take it to their highest potential. Their lack of peace, Lord, has robbed them from being what they need to be. And I ask you now in Jesus' name to touch their hearts and touch their minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.